Take your Bible this morning. Turn with me, please, to the Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses from this chapter, the Lord willing. I begin in verse 4. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. In these passages of Scripture, we have a concise summary of the scope of redemption. There are several particular aspects of this passage, especially verse 5, that I want us to pay close attention to. I want us to note in this passage where it says that he loves us. Thank you, Sister Wanda, for following the Lord this morning. Jesus does love us. The Bible says that he loved us with such a love that we cannot even imagine. We read in the book of Ephesians where this love that God has for us passes all understanding. There's no way that we could ever comprehend nor fully understand God's love toward us. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We read in the book of Romans where that when we were yet without strength, in the fifth chapter of Romans, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He goes on and says in that passage in verse 7, that for scarcely would a righteous man would one die, peradventure for a good man would even one dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This unfathomable, unimaginable kind of love that God has extended toward us should get our attention, should alert us. We should be aware this morning of the fact that God loves us. Jesus died for us. He loved us. The Bible says that in these passages that it's a kind of love that exceeds all other loves. See, I understand why God loves the angels. The angels are holy. I can understand why God would love Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden because they were created upright and holy. But I can't imagine why God would love the people like us, a people who are transgressors and sinners. See, it's not that we're just evil, we're rebels. It's not that we've just sinned, we have rebelled against God. We are the worst kind of evildoers. We are traitors. We violated God's law. We are transgressors in the human race. As far as when you look at it through the eyes of God, we are considered unlovable. Perhaps you've seen the billboard that God loves you because he doesn't create any trash. Well, that's not true. God loves you because God is love. Amen. There's nothing in us that merits God's love. There's nothing within man that causes him to desire to love us. The only reason God loves you is because God is love. Amen. We are unworthy of God's love. Amen. We are undeserving of God's love. Actually, we are unlovable. That's why in the original Greek language, there's a word that represents love that is called the agape love. It's love towards something that doesn't deserve to be loved. A love toward the unlovable. And that's the kind of love that God has shown us. The Bible says He loved us. Praise God. Bible says, Jesus said, no greater love hath a man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loves you this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, if we could only grasp hold of the fact that Jesus loves us. Everything that Jesus did, He did for us. When He was born in the barn in Bethlehem, the angels came and announced to the shepherds, He says, today in Bethlehem is born for you a Savior. Amen. Born for you. He was born for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He resurrected for us. He ascended for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father for us. Amen. He's seated in a seat of advocacy for us that He might be our mediator between us and God. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus loves us. Anytime that we sin or we need help or aid, we can go into the very throne room of God, to the very throne of grace, and we can find mercy and help in our time of need because Jesus loves us. Amen. He loved us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, have you ever stopped and paid attention and took note to the fact that God loves you? Perhaps we would have greater zeal in our lives to serve Him. Perhaps we would have greater joy in our hearts to rejoice and praise Him. Perhaps we would have in our hearts a greater degree of adoration for Him in worship if we would contemplate, if we would consider, if we would fix our eyes upon, if we would behold this morning how He loves us. Behold what manner. Pay attention. Observe. Take note to the degree of love that's been extended toward all of you. Man, it ought to make our hearts leap. Amen. It ought to cause us to dance from time to time. Amen. I mean, it ought to cause us to rejoice and hold our hands up high unto the Lord in adoration toward Him and in worship and praise simply because He loves us. He loves us. Loves us. This love constrains us. It helps us. It aids us. It's an unprecedented kind of love. It's not the kind of love that a son has for a father. It's not the kind of love that we have one toward another. It's not the kind of love that you have for your children. This kind of love far exceeds that kind of love. He loved us. And there is no greater love than the love of Christ. Verse 5, Revelation chapter 1. He says simply this. Did you note that? What He says in that passage? Unto Him. Do you feel that way from time to time? I need to give it unto Him. Sinner, you need to surrender and yield unto Him. You need to give way unto Him. You need to repent unto Him. You need to believe unto Him who loved you, who died for you, who was the supreme sacrifice for you, who bled on the cross of Calvary and was the substitutionary atonement for your sins. Unto Him that loved you. He loved you, amen? Not only do we find in this passage that He loved us, not only do we find in this passage He has compassion toward us and mercy toward us. But notice what else it says in this passage. He not only loves us, but He washes us. Washes us, makes us clean. I know you hear from me frequently and often as I preach from this pulpit about the blood of Jesus. But I'll tell you something, it's the blood of Jesus that makes us clean. Isaiah said in chapter 1 of Isaiah, be washed and made clean. He said, let us consider these things.
He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they can be as wool. Jesus Christ washes us. He cleanses us. He makes us whole. He makes us right to the side of God. And that cleansing comes through His blood. Listen, it's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Listen, when the Holy Spirit takes the blood of Jesus and somehow He sprinkles our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, it's something that takes place deep down in your soul, and you know it. You're born from above. You experience grace deep down in your soul when the blood of Jesus is applied. I contend the blood of Jesus must be applied upon your soul. If you have eyes of self-examination this morning and you look deep down in your heart and there's no blood there, listen, the death angel, when he passes by, if the blood is not on the doorpost, then he will not pass by. But there'll be death, eternal destruction, and death in your life. But praise God, there's blood been applied to my heart and I've had a believing application of the blood of Jesus, and when the death angel passes by, he's going to pass over me. Yes. Because the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world loved me and He washed me. I tell you this morning, there's something special about the blood of Jesus. It doesn't matter what kind of sins you've committed. The blood can make you clean. No matter how soiled your soul is, no matter what kind of wickedness you've committed, I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus has the power to make you clean. We sing that song from time to time. There is power. A wonderful work and power in the blood of Jesus. And I praise God for it. I have had friends and loved ones that it seemed as though that they had become so steeped in sin that there was beyond, that they were beyond any kind of recovery. Oh, but there's power, wonderful work and power in the blood of Jesus. And when Jesus Christ applies His blood to their hearts, I tell you, you become changed. Changed. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. He not only loved us, but He washed us. You know, Jesus in the 13th chapter of John, He was with Peter on one occasion, and He was trying to wash His feet. Peter said no, and Jesus said, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. Listen, my friend, if you've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have no part in the church. You have no part in Christianity. You have no part of heaven. Listen, without Jesus washing you, you don't have any part in the holy things of God. You have no part in the gospel. You have no part in the family of God. Unless Jesus cleanses you and washes you, you have no part in Him. No part. There's no exceptions, no exemptions. Intrinsically, comprehensively, salvation is wholly in Jesus Christ. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. The Bible teaches us in the first chapter of John and in the second chapter of 1 John that it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we perpetually receive cleansing. The Bible tells us that if we will confess our faults one to another, that He is just and faithful to forgive us our faults and our sins, and He will cleanse us. He will keep us clean, that the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that all unrighteousness can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus? Unto Him who loved us. us unto him who washed us in his own blood. I know when I get to heaven, there are a lot of things that I could be condemned for. I know when I get to heaven, there's a lot of sins that God could bring my attention. There are a lot of things that could be brought up there at the judgment seat of Christ that would bring condemnation and eternal hell in, upon me forever. But listen, when he looks at me, he's going to see the blood. Amen. Yeah, I don't know how God does it, how that he can take a transgressor, a sinner, one who is full of iniquity, one who is steeped in darkness, one who is a rebel, one who is a traitor, and cleanse them and make them whiter in snow. I don't understand the process. I don't understand how a cow eats green grass and makes white milk. But listen, it happens every day. And today, no matter how far you're steeped in sin, I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you and make you whiter than snow. Yeah. The church today continues perpetually to receive cleansing. We read in the fifth chapter of Ephesians that the church receives a washing of the water by the word. Well, Jesus is the word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. And we receive a cleansing. Listen, people, we cannot be His bride without the cleansing of His blood. Amen. Churches need cleansing too. Amen. I mean, yeah, the Bible says that the saints, they washed their robes and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, praise God. When the saints go marching in, our cleansing, our cleanliness, our holiness, our righteousness, it's all going to be there because of the blood of the Lamb. He loved us and he washed us. Jesus loved us. He died for us that we might experience the cleansing. And I was under conviction. When I was in trouble over my sin, I realized how dark. I realized for the very first time in my life just how distant I was from God. I realized how dirty I was. I felt like those leopards that used to run around in the Old Testament with leprosy and say, unclean, unclean. But praise God, the leopards were made clean by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. The most atrocious and despicable disease that was ever known to man was cleansed by the power of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that your sins can be forgiven. They can be blotted out. You can be made clean through the blood of the Lamb. There are those that have committed whoredom. There are those that have gotten involved in some of the most despicable and terrible sins of the world. And I'm telling you that those people have been saved by the grace of God, and they've been made clean and made servants of the Most High God through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Wow. People, we're dealing with something that's powerful. There's no greater power than the power of Jesus Christ. There's no greater power than an application of the blood of Jesus. Wow. He not only loved us, he washed us. In these passages, we not only read about his compassion toward us, we not only read about his redemption for us, but we also read about our glorification. Behold, the Lord cometh. I didn't finish that passage in 3 John, did I? A while ago. Behold, there in this passage, I think also includes and encompasses his love, where it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, how that we're to pay attention and we're to fix our eyes upon his love. Hey, in that passage, but here it also that says that we need to fix our eyes and our hearts and our minds upon the second coming of the Lord. He's coming. Behold, the Lord cometh. The seventh from Adam. This is something that the saints of God have always contemplated and considered and thought about. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. You read there in the book of Jude. I can't even find it now. But Jude, the seventh of Adam, it's in the book of Jude. There's only one chapter. Just read the whole chapter. But in the book of Jude, we read how we're the seventh from Adam. He prophesied of these things, saying, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, amen, to execute judgment to all those that know not God, to all the sinners that have committed all these ungodly sins who have because of their ungodly speeches. Listen, my friend, the Lord's coming. Behold, the Lord cometh. He comes. The Lord cometh. Are you ready? I'm telling you, Shiloh's coming. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is coming. Yes, our good shepherd that died for the sheep, he's coming. Yes, the great shepherd who oversees the conditions and oversees the situations of the church, he's coming. The great shepherd's coming. The Lord's coming in power and great glory. Behold, the Lord cometh. Our high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, is going to step off his seat of advocacy, and he's coming to take us home. Amen. We too will enter beyond the veil, both soul and body. Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back. Emmanuel is coming. The King of David is coming. Praise God. Behold, the Lord cometh. I said last week, I've never lived in a time where I've seen so many unhappy people. One of the reasons we are so unhappy as a church and as a people is because we're not looking up. Listen, Jesus told us to look up. Look up, my friend. Child of God, look up. Daughter of God, look up. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. The Lord's coming. Behold, the Lord cometh. The creator and controller of this earth, he's coming. The wise master builder, he's coming. The cornerstone that the builder rejected, he's coming. The Lord, who is great, is coming. Behold, the Lord cometh. He cometh. Are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? I was telling some of them yesterday in Indiana. I was sitting at the table and at the Bethel Association meeting. Brother Jerry said there was a bunch of young men sitting there at the table, and he said, Brother Jerry said, tell them about the horn. I said, what are you talking about? He said, tell these young men about the horn. And I said, what horn? He said, the horn at Victory. I said, oh, yeah. Yeah. Y'all might remember that revival meeting. Some of you weren't here. But while the revival meeting was going on, I kept hearing this disturbance outside. I thought maybe it was somebody with a boombox. I thought maybe it was a truck going down Galton Road. I wasn't sure what it was going. I thought maybe somebody's got their radio on in the parking lot. Wasn't sure what kind of noise I was hearing outside. It was at the conclusion of the service, and I'd already stepped down front in the altar area. And I looked back, and both of those doors opened up. And this guy came through with one of them African horns. It was about 8 foot long. He actually had to bend down to get it through the door. He stepped up, and he had it like this, standing right back there. And I thought to myself, he's going to blow that thing. He was the one going around the building blowing it. And you might remember, I started talking about the coming of the Lord. And you know, and I kept asking people, y'all believe the Lord's going to come back? Yeah, yeah. You know, do you think he's coming back with a shout? Do you think he's coming back with the voice of an archangel? Is he coming back with the trump of God? And everybody was just, amen, yeah, he's coming back. And I said, blow that thing. How many we have saved that night? I think it was about 10 on the altar. No, I'm just kidding. I was afraid. I'm glad we got that thing that jumps people's hearts, because I was afraid we're going to have some of the older people have a heart attack. But listen, today could be the day.
this could be the hour. It's a lot closer than we imagine. God is going to one of these days destroy this world. Amen. It's going to rain fire and brimstone. And this world is going to melt with fervent heat. Bible says the Lord Jesus prior to that is going to come. He's going to come. The Bible says, I believe it's in the 19th chapter of Revelation. He's going to come riding on a white stallion when the sun turns to sackcloth and the moon turns to blood and the stars fall from heaven and the sky is going to roll up as a scroll. Then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come on that white stallion and his eyes are going to be as fire and his mouth going to proceed a sharp two-edged sword, and on his head are many crowns, and on his vesture that is dipped in blood will be written, King of kings and Lord of lords, and the armies of God on their stallions also will be with him. I'm telling you, the Lord's coming. He's coming back. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ are going to rise. Praise God. And those of us that are alive and remain, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trump of God. Amen. And we're going to lose our gravitation. Amen. And we're not going to look back like Lot's wife. Oh, no. We're going to lose our gravitation. And we're going to soar through the air. And we're going to meet the Lord. Bible talks about in the book of Revelation about all these wonderful things. But it says, and they shall see his face. Praise God. Here in the near future, these eyes shall behold him. Behold, the Lord comes. And then every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. I'm telling you, my friend, if you're not right in the sight of God, you need to be saved. You need to repent of your sins. And you need to put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this Savior who loved you, the Savior who can wash you, the Savior is coming back. And my friend, if you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, you'll be a vessel fit for destruction. Listen, get saved today. Let's get a song. If you're lost and in your sins, call on the Lord. The Lord could come back today. Can he come back today? Before we get home, before this service ends. See, I believe, and this is in my sanctified imagination, it's not in the Bible. I believe the Lord's going to come back on his day. You may differ with me. It's all right, just a speculation on my part. I don't know when. Don't go away from here saying, I know when he's going to come back. But I have this sanctified imagination sometimes. And I believe he comes back, he'll come back on his day. On the Lord's day. I think he'll come back around this time too. You may differ with me and that's okay. We don't know when he's going to come back. But the Bible says he's going to have people with faith here somewhere. Now I believe they'll be exercising that faith. And they'll be preaching faith. And listen, my friend, today could be the day. There is nothing, you mark this down. You put this in the margin of your Bible. There is nothing yet to be fulfilled in Scripture. There is nothing in the Word of God. There is nothing in the future of this world that could prevent or can or would prevent the Lord coming back. I believe in an imminent return of Christ. Amen. You can differ with me. You can say that all these other, this has to happen, that has to happen. You go ahead and believe that if you want to. But I believe the Lord could come back today. Amen. He told his church, keep watching and waiting. Listen, this could be your last service. Last service. This could be your last chance. This could be the last gospel message you ever hear. You might say, well, I don't believe he's going to come back. I believe that the son of perdition has to be revealed, and I believe this and this and this. That's fine if you believe all that. But you might not make it home. The Bible says where death finds you, eternity awaits you. It teaches that when a man dies, that it's appointed that a man wants to die in the ninth chapter of Hebrews, and after this, the judgment. Amen. There's no more second chances. This may be your last chance. As we stand and sing, would you come, seek the Lord with all of your heart, be saved.